This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Business in all the major trading continents. And we begin in China. The mystery, the non-transparency, the magic, the expectation that China will reopen. That word itself is judgmental. Reopen from the COVID zero failed policy and from the wolf warrior failed policy and from the alienation it is experiencing these last years because of its predatory trade policies. Reopen. So I welcome Chris to comment because he has colleagues and partners and allies in China observing the reopening. And the question was, will the workforce, after being pummeled by COVID, return in sufficient numbers or at all at the end of the Chinese New Year? Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Did the workers come back? And does that mean that China is reopened for business? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, generally speaking, the workers have come back across China. So factory orders are coming back in. There's certainly a level of heightened desire on the part of many of the Chinese companies that we work with and companies that we do business with for orders. So it's clear that the Chinese economy is slow, but that's been good from the perspective of during the pandemic, very long lead time supply chain items are now starting to compress down. So it's improving and continuing to get better day in, day out. But in general, yes, China's back post Chinese New Year.
Now we connect China to the economies of the planet because it's provides a great deal of the trade and also the investment possibilities. I understand the Chinese leadership, the Communist Party leadership, is inviting investor class to come back. There was several years thinking that that was not going to happen, that it was not safe to invest in China. But I'm interested in China in one silo, that is the chip silo. We've had mixed information these last days about the United States and its allies in Europe and in Asia seeking to block China, prevent China, embargo China from high-end chips. And they're said to be successful. What does that mean, high-end chips and high-end chip-making machinery? What is it talking about, Chris?
So, John, starting in October, the Biden administration took a series of steps where they continued to ratchet up the pressure of forbidding or preventing U.S. and many global chip supply companies, companies that make the machines that build microchips, from continuing to supply the Chinese in what are known as processes that are below 28 nanometer. So the more modern, the more advanced chips. That being said, that's had a pretty significant impact on China, where China as a factory can run relatively autonomously. However, chip making tools require a ton of care and feeding. Without that ability to get replacement parts, replacement tools, the ban on U.S. citizens working and supporting the Chinese industry in that area, the Biden administration is certainly tightening the pressure on China in that chips market. So far, it has not been significantly disruptive to the Chinese industry, but it will reach that point unless there is some agreement or some moderation in the Biden administration with pushing and getting the Dutch to agree to have ASML not send their next generation deep ultraviolet tools to the Chinese. There's very much a push to prevent the most advanced tools from ever getting to China.
I understand high-end speaks to magical things such as artificial intelligence or quantum computing. However, the high end might reach into an economy and its ability to function. How deep into the Chinese economy does the banning or the embargo reach? To the car industry? To all electronics? Can we tell?
It's starting to broaden in that earlier in the week, the Biden administration went to further restrict Huawei and some of the products that could be licensed or purchased from the U.S., Huawei being one of the massive both cell phone manufacturers as well as telecommunications equipment manufacturers in China. So the action on the Biden administration is broadening and opening up more areas of pressure. That will likely start to impact more broad industries in China. Typically, chip is on a 3-month, 6-month backlog in terms of production. So you have product that's in distribution that's not yet consumed. But I would assume that as you get into second quarter and third quarter of this year, you could see actual noticeable disruption from plants that can no longer keep their tools running, coming, or certainly cannot expand their manufacturing base because they're not allowed to buy tools outside of China.
And does this also touch American businesses or international businesses that are working in China? Let's use the big example of Tesla. Does the chip banning mean that the Tesla factory in China can't produce?
For Tesla, not yet. At some point in the future, it could, but so far, not yet. They're very good in managing their supply chains. What I think you have seen in the last year to 18 months is a wholesale change. There used to be discussion in Washington of China as a competitor. Now the phrase is that we are to decouple from Chinese dependence. So any of the companies in the semiconductor industry that may have been considering building new factories in China that were non-Chinese, that's completely off the table. They're now looking at India, Vietnam, Singapore, Malaysia. So China has lost a bit of opportunity there for sure from foreign firms. And foreign firms are also now investing more heavily in the United States. As you see TSMC in Phoenix, as you see Intel growing in Ohio, you'll see much more of a robust U.S. chip industry to bring balance to that very fragile supply chain.
And the U.S. chip industry includes your home state of Ohio, the Buckeye State. So the banning, the embargo, the inhibition to China does not touch U.S. firms. I'm thinking of Intel in particular. Is that true? Does the supply chain reach into the U.S. or does it stay out?
It does reach into the U.S. because the supply chain and the interaction is a global business and a global industry. That being said, it's less impacting on U.S. firms with secondary components that may go into final solutions. However, longer term, within the next 3 years, 4 years, as you're seeing Intel building large foundries in Arizona, in Ohio, TSMC investing heavily in Arizona, you will be able to nearly fully decouple on semiconductor, but there's still a lot of other dependent chips and components that come from China. So we're not out of the woods yet.
The recession, we're told that it's imminent. There's a suggestion in Europe that the Eurozone can or may avoid a recession. The news is the ECB has raised interest rates. The Bank of England has raised interest rates. The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates. We're focusing on the tech sector, the thousands announced layoffs these last weeks. The debate sometimes, Chris, has been these layoffs are merely returning to numbers that were not even pre-pandemic. They've retained a workforce that's post-pandemic. Do you see these layoffs inhibiting in some fashion the growth of the tech business? Are we going to see a retrenching?
I don't know that you'll see a retrenching in the tech industry. This is the third shutdown in third retrenching in memory after 2001 recession, 2008 recession. So you see within tech circles, the discussions, is this more like 2001 or 2008? You're seeing private equity and venture capital that's pulling back or being a bit more cautious around tech sector. Tech sector is most certainly cut a lot of the fat that was gained during the pandemic, but you now see very large companies, including companies like Intel, that are making significant reductions on competitive market issues as well as global economic issues. So I think it's safe to say that the tech recession is in full thrust at the moment.
Part of the conversation about the recovery is that with the shortage of workers for many service jobs and across the landscape, we're going to supplement a workforce with robots to a short term, androids, or workarounds. Is that still happening, Chris? Are big businesses investing in not people, but machinery?
Big businesses are always looking to optimize process, and robots or automated processes don't have sick days, don't have overtime pay, things such as that. So it's certain that you'll see more and more automation within environments. However, if you look at some of the really cool videos that the guys at Boston Dynamics put out about functional robots for warehouses or others, that's still somewhat into the future because the costs and the level of complexity have not yet aligned to that of human labor.
All right. The Wall Street Journal tells us in summary, Apple sales expected to show decline. Amazon poised for slow sales growth. Google expected to post ad revenue drop. That's all in the price of everything right now. What about the franchises? You have contact with franchises not only in this country, but in Europe and in Asia. Are they retrenching? Because that would be quite different than tech retrenching.
Franchises in the U.S. are very much retrenching as the costs of capital with the raised by the Fed again this morning are making it more and more difficult for many of these businesses to survive if they're highly leveraged. So you will see more shakeouts in the service industry of companies that with high cost of capital cannot survive. But you're also seeing hits to traditional industry like transportation with the FedEx layoffs announced this week, where those would signal a larger global economic challenge and decline in transportation impacting a blue chip like a FedEx.
So what we have then is early days of the anticipated slowdown called a recession. It's not we don't see it yet, but we see the predicate for it. Is that correct, Chris?
History repeats itself right up until the point that it doesn't. So while the GDP numbers and prints were good, jobs continue to weaken in many sectors, and you're seeing in retail, in technology, in transportation, and in other sectors, companies very much tightening the belt. So it looks and feels like a recession in many ways, even if the GDP indicators do not show that number this quarter.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.